You're listening to Divorce Discussions on News Talk 1130 WISN and your iHeartRadio app. Here is your host, Dan Smith.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Divorce Discussions. And Liz, prior to the break, you talked a little bit about the child specialist role. And during the break, you brought up some really interesting points that I think we all agree that make sense for the listeners to hear. So why don't you just kind of lead us through that again?
Sure. So sometimes I skip over glance over the fact that listeners may not understand what a child specialist is and what we do. So a child specialist is a licensed mental health professional that the court views as having child development and family systems expertise pertaining to divorce. And so it's, in my opinion, a really wonderful process because I'm able to help stabilize conflict and develop parenting plans with families utilizing the child's voice. So in a very appropriately structured process, without having children weigh in and choose or control decisions that parents make, very methodically, I'm able to, on the front end of the process, meet with children and get to know the children. And that's a really kind of wonderful touch point for the families that have met their kids. And as a mental health professional, I've observed anxiety or temperament, and even with babies developmentally, some attachment or ambivalence that they might have to certain child rearing practices, and able to stabilize and anchor parents really early on the front end through feedback around everything that I've heard, everything that I've observed, a lot of education around what children need. And after that feedback session, that's when we really get into developing the parenting plan. So the parents are the ones that are the decision makers. They never leave my office with an agreement that they didn't make together. Sometimes it might take a little extra effort and education for me to help them develop an agreement. But ultimately, they leave with a parenting plan around placement, all of the other details pertaining to medical, school, extracurricular activities, and then inevitably additional items such as holidays and sometimes more custom developmentally necessary things to talk about, like cell phone use or driving or home alone. And so really building a plan that gives a foundation for families throughout their divorce process to be able to anchor into, these are the decisions we've made on how we will co-parent our children. And at the front end of that is a mission statement. And why I think that's so incredibly important is because when things are difficult, or when feeling like you might feel a little lost in the co-parenting relationship or there's a conflict, I encourage families to reference that mission statement and remember that that's an agreement you made about how you will raise your children together to minimize conflict, and so that your children can come back to you at a later stage in life and say, thank you for doing this well despite divorce.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So just to piggyback on that a little bit, the child specialist is the definition of which I think Liz put perfectly, right? We lawyers in the court system, if we're dealing with a divorce or a family that's already divorced and maybe still talking about kids stuff, whether or not the parents have hired lawyers, if there's a conflict that the parents can't resolve without going to court, a judge is going to have to appoint another lawyer or the first lawyer, perhaps, if both parties are not represented by lawyers. That fancy title is guardian ad litem. I think in both of our introductions, Amy and I talked about doing some of that work. It's not our primary sort of role in these actions, but both Amy and I take that role very seriously. The role of a guardian ad litem is to be an advocate for the best interest of the minor children or minor child. And sometimes the best advocacy you can do for those children is to simply say to parents, stay out of court. Don't have a judge make these decisions. Do better than this. And so I think the conversation, I guess perhaps it's how articulate I am is what kind of mood I'm in. But, you know, some version of, hey, there are other ways of handling this. Consider going to talk to somebody like Liz Mottola. Consider some, you know, a different ways of resolving issues other than just arguments, court, judges. If I'm in a bad mood, it's probably like, knock it off, right? This isn't helping anything. But I think that can be true for sort of the holiday conversation too. A court document that talks about kids and schedules and custody and placement and all these things is almost certainly going to have a framework for what happens during the holidays. That can be a big one or a small one. It could be a very detailed, you know, Thanksgiving starts the Wednesday before Thanksgiving at 6 p.m. sharp with mom dropping off to dad's and dad has until, or it can just be a little bit looser. But I think the idea of the holiday schedule is that we've got to talk about what the children are sort of used to, what the parents would prefer. But the whole time, it's what's best for the children. It's not necessarily that, oh, Amy, you don't understand. I have celebrated Thanksgiving at noon every single Thursday of my entire life. I have to keep doing it, and my kids have to be there. It's more about what the kids are used to, and sometimes I think we have these conversations about even what they're used to. If the parents handle it well, it can be different going forward and still be good for them. I don't know if you have that same experience or not, Amy, but I think it's, you know, these conversations are better to be had outside of court than maybe in court.
Yes, I agree completely with that, Graham. And I think that Liz mentioned it too, is that you can create new rituals and new ways of looking at it. I mean, there's no reason you can't have Thanksgiving on Friday. There's just no reason you can't. And to make that sort of fun and different and special, you can be doing that too. But I think Graham also made a really good point. I just want to reemphasize. As a guardian ad litem, we are lawyers. We are not social workers. We are not psychologists. And we do our best and we work really hard and we talk to the children. But to have somebody who has that developmental understanding and that family systems understanding just creates this just another layer of expertise that just is so needed in families sometimes. I do mediation often, and when we're talking about that, it's I don't meet the children and have that additional information to share. So to have a child specialist is really important, and to avoid, as Graham said, to avoid court at all costs, because you're asking somebody who doesn't know anybody in the situation to make choices about your children that are going to last a lifetime. How crazy is that? Yeah. You have to trust each other and trust that you two can make better decisions about your children than a court.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oftentimes, and I should probably note the distinction, child specialists can get confusing with child therapist. And so when I meet children, oftentimes their parents might report back that they really enjoyed the experience. Perhaps I'm the first touch point of a mental health professional that they've spoken to. But I do have to distinguish that I will not be an ongoing resource for therapy. However, I also think it's really important to note that just because the children may be adapting to change, which is inevitable as the family system changes, they don't always necessarily need therapy. And so also utilizing my role and lens to be able to say, you know what, we've spoken and the children are ready for someone to talk to, or this isn't the right time, and bringing in a therapist when they're not ready and willing can kind of compromise that process later down the road. But being able to stabilize parents and saying, listen, what they're going through is just normal adaptation and adjustment, and it's within the normal context of development in the family system, or having a lens to that this is additional, change that they're going through and they're having some difficulty with that adjustment and ready for a therapeutic approach beyond my office.
Absolutely. Real quick, we got a little more than a minute left here. And Amy, just one thing that you and I talked about when we were planning is, you know, sometimes the families have blended religions. And any thoughts on that?
I think people need to be aware that the religions have different ways of celebrating holidays. The Jewish religion starts the night before, and so to make sure that all the holidays are respected in a blended family, that families, you know, different kinds of religion holidays. You are sometimes in the synagogue and you're sometimes in at home, that you have to craft this for this family, not just about Christmas and who gets Christmas morning, but you have to look at the other families' religions and blend that too. And sometimes that might be because the extended family has that and you haven't been practicing that, but that also is important, I think, to the children's development to understand the religions and where they've come from.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, Graham, you had one more note that we wanted to read that you got from your law clerk.
Yeah, thanks. So she was very insightful, and I thought one other thing that she had conveyed to me was definitely worth putting out there. So she wrote also, if there's a holiday plan set, then it's important to simply comply with it with little discussion in front of the children. For the children who have had no say over their holiday schedule, do not, and I cannot reiterate this enough, do not make the children feel like they are choosing one parent over the other. Provide them with support, as coming to this decision was not easy in any way. More likely than not, that child has made the decision far in advance to when they give you an answer, but it's their fear of disappointing a parent and having to choose that causes a delayed answer. So when it comes to holidays, you know, I speaking or listening to somebody who said that her parents got divorced when she was two, you know, it's about the children. It's not about the parents.
Absolutely. And we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank my guests for coming on again today, licensed psychotherapist Elizabeth Mottola, attorney Amy Shapiro, and attorney Graham Weimer. As a reminder, all of our episodes available on my website, 20-20wealth.com. So if you missed anything, from real estate topics to, you know, child specialist roles, check it out.